Are we going?
Yo.
Ah. Okay, to the second letter. Whoa. Okay. Yeah. Linking on my brain. I got pennies in my name. Yeah. Still gon' free the space. Oh my God. Yeah. Squad like DOJ. Yeah. Justice in my veins. We was vocal for the face. I could quit the day. Yeah. Happy off the stage. I think I've been overpaid.
Huh?
You can't censor what I say. Yeah. Check my DNA. Coward, that just ain't no trait. Southside, yeah. That's where I spend downtime, yeah. I mean, at night, the rap, I check the podcast for the smoke, yeah. I don't wanna fight with trolls, yeah. I just wanna fight with souls. I just wanna be light. You just wanna be right.
Yo, guys, welcome back to another episode of your ET
another
podcast.
Another hot one for you.
And we are in episode one.
Oh, yeah.
What are we now?
This is episode 54.
54, man, that's crazy.
Yep.
54 episodes and season three comes in six more episodes.
That's correct.
And yeah, it's gonna be hyped. So thank you guys for tuning in. You know, my name is Eric.
I'm Trey.
And this is your ET podcast. Today we have a guest today. And it's gonna be a good solid topic today that we're gonna talk about. So
kind of continuing off of what we spoke about previously.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Yeah, so definitely with a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we got here our friend. What's up, man?
Hey, not much. This is my first time on a podcast.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, just want to say that, you know, if I mess up or anything, just excuse me. Hey,
my best. We all human, man, and I mean, like you said, it's your first time on a podcast. Yeah. So.
No, but yeah, we're really glad that that you're with us today.
Yeah.
Me and Trey starting this men's club, I guess, social thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's.
And literally everybody is Hispanic except for me.
That is true. Even Brian.
Even Brian.
Brian, he's
white Mexican. And Mexican.
Dang.
His mom straight up like talks Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
Accent, yeah. Everything. Yeah. He does not look like it.
It's funny like, though, because we always make fun of him. He's like, what? He doesn't speak Spanish or nothing.
No.
He understands, but.
Yep.
It's funny.
He does speak fluent Mandarin, though.
Mandarin.
I don't know.
He's weird.
So, anyway.
No, but yeah, no, and yeah, he, you came to our, well, I guess, our first gathering.
Yeah.
And I've known you for a while. I don't know. It's been.
Yeah. Like. Since middle school?
Yeah, dude. It's been like 7 years more than, I think, dude, more than that.
That's crazy.
Dude. But we're glad that you're here. So definitely you have a big story to tell because I've known you, like I said, ever since, you know, middle school. And, you know, for a while we didn't see each other until back when we were working together. And then ever since then, I guess I've always had some type of communication with you. So.
Yeah, I think pretty much you're one of the people that's seen me at every stage of life.
Yeah,
that is insane. Because
I've gone through a few.
Yeah,
probably more than the regular person.
Yeah,
but yeah. So I mean, and today we definitely want to talk about your story and your life pertaining, you know, your mentality and how it was back then and how it is now. And
yeah,
I guess the bigger things that I would say more of a, I would really call it like miracle type of stuff because, you know, you've seen a lot, you've done a lot, and your word has a lot of value to anybody that's probably in the same situation, same boat as you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so tell us about you. What are your hobbies? What do you like to do?
Well, yeah, I mean, just recently, this past year, basically stayed sober from everything. So nice. I'm like a year and a month sober.
That's crazy.
And but it wasn't always this way.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always had this kind of like this huge ambition, but I never had, or I never realized I had the leadership that I needed mm-hmm. to go down the right path.
Okay.
But I've been starting to figure out that it's always been there. I just didn't necessarily realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, I made a lot of mistakes, and I also gained a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, as like an immigrant, when you're brought here, especially if you're the oldest, there's a lot of responsibilities on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you got to do it, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that you know you're translating stuff for your parents. You know, you're like 10 making calls to like the insurance company for them because they don't understand.
That's true.
They don't speak English. You're trying to translate, you know, papers mm-hmm. at like 12 years old.
Man.
You know that, you know. you gotta grow up fast, and it was all put on me because I was the oldest one.
Mm-hmm.
So I was supposed to, you know English, so you gotta tell us what this means.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's my parents, so I had to do it.
That is insane.
Well, anyway, because of that, I had like this huge ambition to always do the best I can, to be like top dog in whatever I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when I graduated high school, well, I guess started in high school, I wanted to be like the most popular one, so I started partying a lot.
Mm. Like most kids.
Yeah.
You know.
But I wanted to be the best at it, so like, so I started throwing house parties. We even made this little group.
Yeah.
They got pretty big. A lot of the times the cops came. We were doing a bunch of, you know, teenager stuff.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right.
But then, you know, my ambition, that kind of led me to something, you know, in that same world.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, I started going to nightclubs. I attended my first nightclub when I was 17.
Dang.
I was actually in the VIP area at 17. And because again, I didn't realize I had, you know, the right leadership. I kind of followed the wrong people.
Right.
At that time, I followed the guy that, you know, took me to his VIP, and I wanted to be that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started working a lot. I had like two jobs, and when I graduated high school, I was kind of like done with my parents. I was just so tired of being like, you know, the leader of the house. It's like,
yeah,
you know, at some point I need to start my own,
right.
My own life. So right when I graduated, I remember Obama, he passed what they call DACA.
Mm-hmm.
So once I got that, I got my license, I was able to work legally. And that just opened up, like, I don't know if that was good or bad for me, because that kind of opened like Pandora's box for me.
Mm.
I felt like I could do, you know, anything.
Yeah.
And again, my ambition. So I had so much ambition. I just wanted to be like the top party guy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I started going out. You know, every weekend I had all this extra money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started, you know, doing, you know, harder stuff, getting into drugs. And little by little, you know, it got worse. And before you know it, like, I realized I had a real problem.
Yeah.
I was drinking a lot, doing hard drugs. Well, I wouldn't say hard drugs, because like I was always scared to like inject myself.
I was gonna say I was the same way. I was like, well, all right, there's a line.
It's like,
you know,
it's like the regular ones, like weed and all that. I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I remember there was one night that was just like that kind of defines what that whole stage of my life was like.
So I had this girlfriend, and we like broke up, but like everybody wanted her.
Mm.
And I remember it was like a big night downtown. I forget what it was. I think it was like Cinco de Mayo or something. But I wanted to take her, I wanted to get VIP, and I wanted everybody to see me with her. So yeah, I did that. I went down there that night, you know, got super drunk. She got super drunk. She ended up throwing up in a VIP, so like she got kicked out. And like my friends ended up taking her home. And I wanted to keep the party going. And like I never thought nothing bad was gonna happen, cause like my parents were always into church. My mom always gave me like rosaries, mm-hmm. and that was supposed to keep me safe, you know, and I believed that. So yeah, I was looking for the girl, and I didn't know that they took her. I was just so drunk. And then after that, I wanted to keep the party going, but like it was already like 3 a.m. Everybody was gone. Jeez. Downtown was cleared out.
Dang.
So yeah, then decided to drive home, and I was falling asleep on the way home. And I just remember hitting like, you know, that division in the middle of the freeways,
mm-hmm. yeah.
that wall. And like, luckily right when I hit it, I woke up because of the tire popped, it exploded. Damn. And like, I stopped right away. So this is like 3 a.m. in the middle of winter. No, so it could have been Cinco de Mayo. It was sometime in the winter. Whatever, point is, it was really cold. I had wasted all my money at the VIP,
jeez.
On the VIP, man. And I actually lost my credit card, so I couldn't, you know, even access money through there. My phone was dead, so I'm there in the middle of the highway, 394, which is like super, you know, a lot of people take that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I didn't know what to do. My tire was popped, but then I saw the exit was only like not even a mile. I saw the exit sign, so I'm like, whatever, I gotta get out of here. I'm gonna get in a lot of trouble, you know?
Right.
Dang.
So I drove from like basically where Penn starts all the way to where Penn ends.
Dang.
with just the on the rim. And I just thought like, oh my God. So, you know, at this time of night, you know, Penn is full of cops.
Right.
I'm like, the whole time I was thinking like, all right, if I see one, I'm pulling over, taking the keys and running. You know, like, I had to plan out, so I was like, that kept me woke, you know. I was just like,
right.
trying to figure out, like, okay. And then, so I was going down the road, down Penn, and like, I could just see the rim, like, just getting busted, like, just in flames, sparks.
Gosh, man.
And then,
dude,
yeah,
yo,
I don't know how I made it, but I made it all the way down Penn, to my mom's house. It must have been probably 2 miles that I just drove like that down Penn, which is one of the biggest or the most popular roads in North Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And I didn't see one car. I didn't even see a car.
Wow.
So yeah, then I went, you know, made it home, went to my room.
Yo, to anybody that was around and saw that,
dude,
like if there was somebody just like having to be walking or something, that probably looked crazy.
Yeah, like, this dude, right, like this dude is living a GTA.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, yeah, I just want to point out I didn't do that because like I wanted to. Well, I guess I wanted to get home.
I mean, right. You wanted to survive and not get caught.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I couldn't call an Uber. My phone was there. I didn't have money to like to do anything. And if I stayed there, the car was almost out of gas too.
Oh my gosh. So to like, make matters worse.
Yeah, man. Like if I sleep here, I'm gonna freeze to death, you know? And they're gonna see me in this fucked up car. I'm like, what happened? So I knew I had to make it home. Anyway, I made it home.
Dang.
Passed out, didn't wake up the next day till like 10, 11. I missed work because my phone was there.
Yeah.
And I didn't charge it. So when I woke up, obviously my parents were mad. They saw the car, so they knew what had happened.
Right.
But the reason at the beginning I said that I've had that leadership, I just never realized it. I never really followed it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I mean, I'm talking about God, you know?
Right.
Well, that morning when I woke up, this rosary that I've had, that it was like almost brand new, that my mm-hmm. mom had just given to me, the little Christ had broken off.
Oh man.
But it was just like right there. It didn't break off because like it got pulled. It's almost like if it just came off by itself. I don't know. I told my mom about it, and I think that was like a sign, you know, that's kind of what saved me. Like, I don't know how I did not see any cops or anything down there.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And with your tire on flames.
Yeah, my tire on flames.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what the typical weekend was for me, just
riding around on, yeah, on a rim and
just a big pile of bad decisions.
Jeez, man. Like, that's insane.
Dude.
Yeah, and I, that's one of the stories I like to tell because that's one of the ones I actually remember because of everything that happened. I would usually just black out and then the next day I like wake up, the bank account half empty, you know.
Man.
That is insane. And see, it's crazy to think though. It's like that's a goal, like to have, like that sounds epic to most people, to like most kids and stuff. Like you were that kid looking at that guy, you know, saying like, "Oh, I want to be like him." And like, there's probably a lot of kids who like, if they heard that story, it's like, "Man, that sounds like a lit night." No pun intended, you know, because of your tire and whatnot. But it's like, but it's like a lot of kids would just be like, you know, that's the type of night I'm trying to have. And it's like,
that's true.
That's not really like, he could have gone to jail. Like,
well,
you know,
not just that, like, but you could have killed yourself.
You could have died too. Like that was a possibility. Like, you could have either froze to death, got into a really bad accident because of your tire. And I mean, you kind of did get into a bit of a,
just alone.
And it's like so many factors, like so many things could have went wrong. And it's just like, but that's, like kids coming up, like, now that's how they want
to. I remember, you know, I saw this movie like a while back. It's called Project X.
I like remember
that movie. And like what you said, I mean, that's like the epic type of scenario they would want to have, so they can go ahead and tell their friends and be like, "Oh, dude, you did, like, that's, you know what I mean?"
Yeah, my house almost got set on fire by a pyromaniac. Like, remember the guy?
And even at the end of the movie, like, they come out, you know, and everybody, like, claps at them and stuff because of what they did.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was something good,
So,
they glorified it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, at this point, at this moment, you don't really see, dang, I could have literally died. Or not just that, you could have killed somebody.
Yep.
Right.
Put yourself and a lot of people in danger.
Dude.
Like, I mean, I think about that, too, because, like, me, you know, like, once I got a little bit of money here and there, you know, and got a job and all that, got a car, you know, me and my friends back home, we would go out almost every weekend. And it was so mundane because we just kept doing the same thing over and over. We kept going to the hookah bar. So, like, actually, I don't think I've ever said this on here, but I've never been to, like, an actual club before. Mm. Never been to a strip club either. Like, none of that.
Dude, we should go then.
No, what? Damn. I've only been to hookah bars and regular, like, alcohol bars. Like, drinking bars. And so the spot we went to was the hookah bar. We went there all the time. All the time. Like, every single weekend. It got to the point where they let us in for free. Because we were going so much.
Regular customers, bro.
We didn't pay for nothing after a while. Dang. They just gave us a hookah. We just came in there and they gave us a hookah. Gave us refills on the flavors and all that, you know. So it was just, I mean, there was that. But then also, like I was telling y'all before we started, I was not a, like, drinker, like a regular drinker. I was a social drinker, so it's like on the weekends, that's when I drink.
Yeah,
like during the week I didn't really drink. I smoked constantly, but I did not drink. And it's like the way I am normally is not how I was when I'm drunk. Like, and back then my personality was way worse, so it's like I was really antisocial and stuff. I didn't want to talk to nobody.
So when you drink, you
get
super depressed.
But when I got drunk,
no.
When I got drunk, I was social. You wouldn't think that I was like this depressing, antisocial person and all of that. So that was the main reason why I would drink. You know, one of the main reasons. Plus, I just had depression on the regular because, like, I was at a dead end job, still living with my mom. Mm-hmm. You know, like I still don't think my second car was raggedy. It was a 94 Volvo. I love that car. Or loved that car because my sister wrecked it. But anyway.
Yeah. No.
I didn't care about that. But it's just like, that's why I had depression.
Right.
I didn't feel like I could get a girlfriend or whatever. And, you know, all of that. So, Yeah.
The alcohol made it better.
The weed was really what made it better. And like, because, yeah. And, oh, here's the other thing, too, while I'm bringing up like that stuff. They say weed is not a gateway drug, but it is. It really is. It's definitely a gateway drug because from smoking weed, I started drinking lean and stuff. That's the cough syrup with the soda and all of that. I started drinking that, and I limited myself. I was like, I'm only going to do this once a month. I'm not going to keep doing this excessively. Pimp C died from this. Future always talking about it. Like, I'm not going, you know, numerous rappers always talking about it. I'm not going to keep doing that. But then I got to the point where I started thinking, I was like, I wonder what shrooms would be like, or I wonder what acid would be like, or like Xanny bars or Percocets or whatever. And it's like, before I even got into that stuff, I shut that down. I was like, nah, lean once a month, weed on the regular, alcohol on the weekends. That's it. That's all you get. You don't get any more. So even I was putting myself, you know, I was drawing a line, you know. Dang. But even that was not good. I shouldn't have been doing none of that, you know.
You were
and it's like
disciplined with your drugs.
That's what I'm saying. Like it was stupid. But yeah, I mean, I slept around here and there with different chicks and stuff. It wasn't as much as most people would think it was, but yeah. And so it was just, yeah, I mean, luckily I never got in trouble with the law or anything. There was one time though where I almost got caught with like an open bottle of alcohol, but I had like, it was me and my friends, we had the bottle or whatever, and it was in my friend's car or whatever, and by that time I had ended up going in the hookah bar. So it was two of my friends still in the parking lot and they were drinking or whatever. And so it's like all of a sudden we see out the hookah bar, out the windows and stuff. We see the cops coming up to them. We're just like,
oh. Dang, that's so close.
I mean, that was a close call, you know. And I was smart too because I wasn't one of those people who would like smoke while driving and stuff like that. It's like I'm gonna smoke before I go wherever. And also most of the time I would just stay. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get high and I'm staying here. This is where I'm gonna be at until this comes down. Like, I'm not gonna be putting myself at risk and all that. Right. And I did drive drunk a few times. There was a few times I did drive drunk. And it was like one time I was driving in the rain. I was super like drunk and I had a long drive, and
this dude,
I saw multiple cops on the way, and like somehow I didn't get pulled over. Dude, I guess I'm just a good driver even intoxicated. I don't know.
Dang, that's
I don't know. It's just, yeah,
dude. And I mean, I like with what you said, that you knew you were a leader, but you weren't just
See, at least you knew that too. That's another thing. Like, I always discounted myself. Whatever the word is.
But my question was, like, when did you start seeing that, like, that the people that you were with weren't being, I guess, like, as a good, what is it called? Damn, what is that word? Like influence. Influence? Yeah, when did you start seeing that? Where, like, you know, okay, you know, these people are not for me. Like, when did you start seeing that?
It took me a long time to see that because, you know, before it got better, it got even worse.
Yeah.
When I turned 21, you know, I didn't need anybody's help to get into nightclubs anymore. I never had a fake ID. I was just able to get in. Because I knew someone.
Yeah.
When I turned 21, I was like, okay, well, I can go anywhere now. I don't need any of you, you know?
Right.
So I got into this rhythm. And I think a lot of people still do this. Because I see it, you know, on people's Snapchats. It was like Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You either go to like
Rouge. That's college night.
Yeah.
So Rouge. It's like drinks are like half price and all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Latinos, it was Rouge. You go there every Thursday.
Oh, okay. See, I've never even heard of that. That's how you know. Like, yeah. I never went to clubs.
Every Friday, you'd go to Aqua.
Mm.
And then every Saturday, it was kind of like any bar downtown.
So it was like a rinse and repeat type thing. It was just, all right, Thursday we go in here, Friday we go in there, Saturday we go anywhere we can.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's after a while, I would imagine, kind of like me going to the hookah bar, it's just like, this is the same thing every single week. It's routine at this point. It's like,
It got really bad. So around this time, I remember the elections were going on, the primaries.
Yeah.
And I remember I had this friend that kind of like influenced me or kind of sold me on this whole Trump thing, and I wasn't even legal, you know? Wow. And I was like supporting this guy. I was all for it. Like, people were confused, you know? And that got me in a lot of trouble on Facebook. I was on there like arguing with people, like, who are you? Like, how are you Latino? And you know, I was like the ultimate, like probably the biggest Trump supporter.
Right.
Anyway, so I got into a lot of trouble right after that with the law. Got a DUI. So I had to go through all that, went to court, took care of all my stuff, did all the requirements, but then probably wasn't even a couple months, probably that same month later on, ICE picked me up. They just came to my house and they're like, I still had legal status, I just wasn't gonna be able to renew what they would call my DACA, my DACA permit, because you're not supposed to get any gross misdemeanors, and that's what I had gotten. You could get away with the misdemeanor, but you'd have to do some extra things. Just couldn't get a gross misdemeanor. So I got picked up, and then that's when kind of like I started hitting rock bottom, and even then I had not hit rock bottom yet. So yeah, I got picked up by ICE. I went in there, and like the whole time I'm thinking like, well, I'm gonna get out because I'm technically still legal. I can go fight this in court. Let them tell them, you know, here's my permit up until this date. So yeah, well, that was kind of like the biggest like karma moment, you know, that everybody saw with me, because
that is funny.
I had just gone on this like whole Trump, you know, this whole Trump thing.
So people were probably like, oh, that's what you get.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
That's crazy.
And nobody went to go see me. Nobody that I hung out with, nobody that I took to my VIP.
People are so fecal or whatever the word is.
They were kind of glad to see me down, you know?
Dude, that's messed up.
They were happy.
Yeah.
And then, well, anyway, when I was in there, they actually had their own little prayer group. So it was all like the Catholic Christians. They had like an hour to go do their thing. The Muslims, I think that was it. There was only two groups. Anyway, every like Tuesday and Thursday, people left for court dates. You know, I'm sitting there, weeks gone by. I still haven't gotten mine. And then finally, after like 2 weeks in there, I get a court date, you know, so that I can go talk to the judge and see what I can do about getting out. And I remember the day before that, we had it was luckily the prayer group day. I went in there, and I remember I stayed through the Catholic one and the Muslim one. I was just in there just like doing my own, you know, during the Muslim one, just doing my own thing. And they knew I wasn't, you know, Muslim, but they just let me be in the back, you know, just sitting there. I just needed that presence, you know? And so at the end of the whole thing, like they knew, I don't know, I guess they were like, they said something in like a different language, like Arabic. And they like pointed at me, and I'm like, oh. And I guess this guy, he's like Russian. He's like, yeah, we just prayed for you. I'm like, so during this whole Trump thing that I went on, this Trump rant, like I was actually like so anti-Muslim too. Everything that you could, the worst things you could think about Trump, that's what I was pulling out. So like for a Muslim guy to even, you know, for the Muslims to pray for me, I was just like, you know, I really messed up, man.
That's like, that's really like a perfect example of like God gets the last laugh.
Yeah.
Like, cause it's like you may have, I don't know to what degree you, how you were about like, you know, the whole Muslim thing, but it's like, God is just like, okay.
Well, and not just that, but like showing that no matter what, he'll humble anybody if you really think about it, you know?
And then he'll use what you wouldn't even think of to get a point across to you. Too. Yeah. Yeah. So that's insane.
Dang.
So unfortunately, in there, while I was in there, I was actually with this kid. He's only like 18.
Mm-hmm.
That went to the same high school I did, Columbia Heights, and basically what happened with him, you know, he came here later on too. He was brought here a little bit older, so he was 18, still in high school, mm-hmm. about to be 19. He was dating this freshman girl. Parents called the cops on him. You know, he's wow. a minor.
Yeah.
Got thrown in there. Anyway, became Dang. Really good friends with this guy, and the only reason I mention him is because like. The day of my court date, mm-hmm. It was just a really weird day. So you would leave, I don't even remember, it was super early in the morning. They'd wake you up by like 5,
mm-hmm.
give you like this really messed up breakfast, like the cheapest breakfast you could think of.
Yeah.
And then at 6, you'd have to like leave just like a little sweater to the courts. This is all during winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then so you'd be in court all day because everybody has to go and then they bring you all back together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you'd see people that came, that made it back, or people that stayed there to either get deported or to get released.
Oh.
Dang.
Well, anyway, my day finally came, you know, and it was just really weird because, like, I knew I had a court date. I had checked on the phone, the lawyer, my parents were prepared.
Right.
They were there super early. And, like, you know, I'm already up 5 a.m. and, like, there's no knock. 6 a.m., no knock. And then Jeez. Finally at 9 a.m., they let people offer, like, the regular breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I check with the officer, you know, I'm like, what's going on? I have court today.
Yeah.
And, like, he didn't care. You know, he was just like, I don't know. He right. made no, you know, didn't attempt to call anyone, nothing. And I call my mom, and she's, you know, she's in the court already. She's like, what's going on? He's like, I don't know. They didn't take me.
Right.
And so we're all super worried, you know, because... Oh, by the way, during this whole time, since the second that I got, like, taken, I guess you could say,
mm-hmm.
my mom was just, like, busting her ass to do whatever she could to have, like, 10, 15 grand ready in case right. I do get bail.
Right.
So, yeah, it was just really weird. So I just started praying, you know, like, I had a Bible in there.
Mm-hmm.
She told me just open it up to whatever page it takes you. So I did that, started praying, and then they had never done this. The lawyer was calling, you know, what's going on, where is he?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just, like, about to break down, man. I was, like, I was about to lose it. I was looking, like, I was actually looking for places to, like, jump off. I'm like, no, you know.
Jeez.
I'm like, man. I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to end it here.
Wow.
So whatever, I ended up not doing that because I got this, like, just... I just got this, like, warmth.
Yeah.
Super warmth, and then just, like, this feeling that it was going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I ever got that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I go to my room, I just lay down, and, like, I calm down. And then as I'm calming down, you know, I'm just, like, trying to figure out, you know, I kind of do deserve this. You know, maybe I should go.
Mm.
You know, get deported.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they come get me. They finally come get me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what's going on, you know? And I'm like, well, you got court. And this is already at, like, noon, you know, when I had lost all hope.
Man.
But something was telling me, like, it's going to be all right, you know?
Right.
And I kept trying to worry and trying to, like, get rid of this, like, peace that I had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't let me. Like, it was so powerful.
Wow. Man.
Whatever. So they took me to court. And, you know, I was in there waiting. And it was finally my turn to go up and talk to the judge. It was like... Everything was, like, in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
I saw my parents, and, like, I don't know, I just wanted to cry right there, you know, because I hadn't seen them in, like, forever.
Right.
Well, it felt like forever.
Yeah.
And, like, every single person that was going was not getting, like, a bail.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't getting set bail. And if they did, it would be, like, some crazy amount, like $12,000, $15,000. Mm-hmm. But it was very rare the people that got it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened with my lawyer. She didn't show up. She sent like her assistant.
Wow.
So that's I'm so like, crazy. Oh my
but
God.
But called though, asking.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Called. And I'm just trying to figure out like, oh man, this is like worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting denied. I don't know if my mom has $15,000.
Man.
So whatever. I finally get up there. And it's just like, she's just looking at me, and like she looked pissed off the whole time.
And who, like, your lawyer?
No,
the
judge.
Oh, the judge. Okay.
But when I got there, like, her mood changed or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, and I looked like yeah, you know, I hadn't shaved.
Yeah.
Had really long hair.
Yeah.
I look bad in like an orange jumpsuit.
Damn. Wait, yeah. Were you really in an orange jumpsuit?
Yeah, I was cuffed all the way.
Yeah.
Oh, my legs and my hands.
Yeah.
That is crazy, man.
But somehow I get a bail set for $10,000, and that's like the exact amount that my mom had.
Man.
That's your.
That is insane.
But like, because it was so late in the day, they couldn't release me that day.
Yeah.
So I had to go back one more night to spend at the ICE center or whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't get why, you know. I guess it was late. She had the money there. She could have just done it. But God had a different plan. So,
man,
I head back. Sorry. And then that kid I was telling you guys about, he's the first person I told, because we were talking about like how we get out, you know, go say hi to my dad, and like if you get out, go say hi to my, you know, my family, mm-hmm. tell them I'm good.
Right.
So the first thing I'm like, hey, so yeah, I'm getting out tomorrow. Do you want me to take anything? He had written down these letters. So he spent his whole day or his whole night just like writing them out, you know, and I'm thinking the next day I'm gonna leave, you know, like at noon again, mm-hmm. you know. So I'm like, just give them to me tomorrow morning, because he was writing a lot to his mom, dad, siblings, whatever. So yeah, the next day they wake me up at like 5 a.m. again. I'm like, oh, British. I'm like, I haven't had contact with the guy.
Right.
He's locked in his place. Like, I promised him that I would do this.
Right.
So I told security guard, I'm like, oh, hey, I forgot my court papers. Let me run back to my room.
Mm.
And like, I'm looking at him like, he knows I'm not going the right way. I'm going to that guy's room.
Right.
But he's like, not saying anything about it. I'm like, okay, I'll keep walking.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo. I'm like, hey, I'm about to leave. Like, let me get the letters. Like, I gotta go now.
Mm-hmm.
He slides them down through the door. Like, he fell asleep on them. I could tell he was like, and you know how like when you drop water on paper.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah, so I could tell he was like crying. You know.
Man.
Dude. But yeah, I was able to get him. Like, I was just I don't know if I was gonna be able to sleep if I didn't at least try.
Right.
You know, because I promised him.
Right.
So yeah, got the notes, got it out, paid, and then it, you know, took like 2-3 hours to process process me out. But I did it, and I was finally able to get out, and it's just like I didn't even know what I was feeling, but I was just so relieved to finally be out, you know.
Yeah, dude, I can imagine. That's a lot of weight just falling off,
saying, dude,
man.
Just what I was telling you, saying.
Jeez.
Damn.
That's insane, man.
But yeah, like I said, that still didn't bring me down to rock bottom, man. I thought he gave me another chance.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, you know, I did, you know, I stopped drinking, stopped going out.
Mm-hmm.
But then it got boring, you know.
Wow.
And here I go again. Oh, mm-hmm. my God.
Jeez.
Well, anyway, it was all going bad. I started down the wrong path again, until I met this girl. I started liking her a lot, and you know, we'd go out. She'd like to drink too, so it was kind of like the perfect match.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a bad match.
Well, I mean,
but for us, it was a good match.
Yeah.
So yeah, eventually she got pregnant, but this was like at the end of our relationship.
Mm.
And like throughout this whole time, I would talk about like, you know, I don't want kids,
right?
You know, I'm not ready for that. I have a lot that I have still have to fix,
mm-hmm.
to take that kind of responsibility. She ends up getting, you know, she didn't tell me about any. I didn't know about any of this, but that she was pregnant. And maybe I was just like playing stupid, but she would give me hints, and she'd be like, "Oh, I can't drink," because I'd ask her out, you know, to go out with me again.
Right.
You tell me like, oh, I can't drink.
And I kinda, she would like, always drink, and all of a sudden she just.
Yeah, and I'm like, I didn't want to read into it, you know?
Yeah.
And then she'd tell me like, oh, I have a doctor's appointment today.
Yikes.
And man. I'm like, oh my God. And I kind of just like stopped talking to her. And then next thing you know, she's like, her friend contacts me. She's like, yeah, she's been in the hospital for like 4 days now. And I'm like, what? Apparently she had an abortion.
Man.
And she didn't tell me. And the reason she told me was because she said that, you know, the way I talked about all that, she didn't think I would even, she thought that's what I would have wanted.
Man.
And then that's when I finally hit rock bottom, because I was like,
right.
He gave me a second chance, and this is what I do with it.
Right. Man.
I couldn't forgive myself. And so at that time, my mom had just had her baby. They had another baby, and I kind of just like, I don't know, I kind of just, all the love that I thought I was going to have for that baby, I kind of just gave it to my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just take care of him so much. But
yeah,
that's kind of what changed me. You know, I was finally like, I finally did put somebody else's life.
Mm-hmm.
I ended somebody else's life basically because of, you know, the way I was.
Man.
And
dang.
That is heavy.
That's finally what changed me.
Mm-hmm. Gosh.
So yeah, that's the reason I decided to like stop drinking.
Yeah.
Change. And I don't know, it's almost like my brother was kind of put there at like the right time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, yeah. That's you know, I feel like that's one of those things where, how they say, the Lord works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
It's like, because we don't know everything, you know, that God thinks and stuff. I mean, you know, so that's definitely one of those cases, yeah. I feel like. And he probably knew exactly how difficult things were for you. So he just, you know, now you got your brother, you know.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. That's insane, man.
Yeah.
And that's.
So that's pretty much when I dropped my whole, you know, list of what you would call friends.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped hanging out with all of them. And then I wanted to do what finally made me, you know, happy. Mm-hmm. One of those things was soccer. You know, I was a great soccer player in high school, but I stopped all that because I got so out of shape from like drinking, partying.
Yeah.
And I missed it so much. You know, I'm like, this is one of the things I need in my life. And then that's kind of when we got back together with Eric. I started a soccer team.
Yeah.
And I've been good since then. Mm-hmm. Been trying to stay out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people didn't believe me that I was like, that I had stopped drinking.
Mm.
But I didn't really care. I wasn't doing it for like them, you know. I was doing it for
me. Right.
Yeah.
That's good.
No.
So.
Man.
Yeah, I don't know where to go from
there. No, dude, and that's, I mean, great. Honestly, that just blew my mind.
Yeah.
And in every aspect, I mean, of what he talked about. And I mean, most of the stuff, like, you know, what you were talking about, I was remembering, like, where I was when you were like, tell me all this stuff. I remember you did call me one day to tell me about that, about the car accident that you just drove over there, and I was like, dang, dude, you're crazy. I remember that, like, even you know, just you know, the stuff where like you were even in jail, and like, you know, I think it was me or my dad that we even, you know, wrote a letter and stuff. And I mean, you know, with all the stuff you were talking about, it was like seeing it in a different perspective. And how you explained it, like, blew my mind, because most of it is like new details, you know.
Yeah.
But being able to see like your transformation, and like, I mean, I've told you this before, that because when we worked together, like, we literally started off like at the same time, and like I would see that leadership in you, you know, and I would follow that, you know what I mean? And dude, you have like a huge potential, like, to do whatever. In a way, I guess with all this experiences, in a way, it kind of makes you invincible.
Yeah.
And, but not in a way where it's like all about you. But now with what you experience, you humbled yourself. Or in a way, I guess God humbled yourself to show you that, hey, you can rule the world, but in a good, better way than what you're doing it now. Yeah. You know, because with what you stated earlier, you know, you wanted to be that top dog, the top dude of everybody would look up to you in that world.
Right.
But going through all this stuff, it's like, now I want you to be the top dog in this world where you can mm-hmm. do way more.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you really think about it, and you never know. You could be the top dog in that world, but what if, like, somebody, like, you know, because you grow enemies or whatever. Yeah. And not just that, but with the drugs and the drinking, where your life, in a way, with any situation could have ended short.
Yeah.
Man.
You know what somebody, I mean?
Because I used to do this, man, for anybody in Minneapolis, you guys know La Hacienda.
Yeah.
So I would... During the whole
taco place, like right across from the place that I took you to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so right behind it.
Okay.
So probably one of the dumbest things I did was, like, I mean, you guys know I like weekend nights, that place up until like 5 a.m. it's packed.
Yeah, dude. Wow. It's all night.
From like midnight to 5 a.m. So one of the dumbest things I would do is just like go in there and I would yell, Trump, Trump, Trump. Yes, and then I'd run out. And like a few times I got chased out. So I actually got like... people followed me, you know.
Oh my god,
that's
man.
Crazy.
And that was one of the, I mean, like I said, one of the dumbest things that I could have done. But
dude,
I go back and think this, like, at any time, you know, God could have just been like, all right, enough's enough.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, dude, and dang, and I mean, with what you know now and what you experienced, I mean, yeah, you know, we all have done bad stuff, I guess, mm-hmm. in our life, but the cool thing about this is that you learn to live.
Yeah.
And now the opportunity that you get, it's all about the choice that you make now,
mm-hmm.
but making it for not just yourself, but the people that look up to you and follow you now.
Yeah.
Because now, like you mentioned, I mean, I'm not doing this for myself. I'm not doing this for anybody but for myself.
Yeah.
That carries a lot of weight because they see the transformation in you.
Right.
And most of the cases I know, dudes are going through that same issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and seeing your lifestyle, seeing your transformation, seeing the things that you're doing now, who knows? Maybe, hey, there's these, can you help me out?
Yeah.
And
that's kind of exactly why I wanted to do this, because, like, you know, I was in that world and I know a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, I was kind of like one of the situations that's like as bad as it can get.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted people to know and to see that, like, it is possible to turn back. It is possible to come back.
Yeah.
Through God, through Jesus Christ. And I'm living proof.
Yeah,
and there's
for sure.
There's a bunch of other stuff that, like, I didn't mention on here, a bunch of things that could have made me sound worse, but because I went through all that I know I'm able to see what other kids are going through nowadays,
mm-hmm.
and kind of put myself in their shoes and try to figure out a way to help them,
right,
to mm-hmm. turn themselves around.
Yeah,
and I see that I can do that, because a lot of times I see other people trying to help them, and it's kind of like that kid would kind of get mad, kind of get pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also get kind of pissed off at the way they're trying to help them. Like, oh, you got to chill. That's not how you do it.
Right, right.
And that's when I realized, like, okay, you know, I'm onto something here.
Mm-hmm.
I can make it. I can help people. So that's kind of what I want to do now.
That's good.
This is a startup.
Wow. Man.
Dang, dude. Honestly.
That's
like,
like, for the past, like, maybe 15 minutes or so, I've just been kind of at a loss for words. Like, I don't even know what to say, man. Like,
yeah.
It's just,
no,
it's, yeah.
And this is a good way to, you know, just, I mean, honestly, there's not, like, enough said, you know, like, boom.
Yeah.
It's like the exclamation to the book.
Yeah.
But, dude, this was great. Honestly, I mean, thank you for sharing your
testimony.
Life. Yeah. I mean, and even though, like, earlier we're like, well, what am I gonna say, dude? You honestly said the perfect words.
Yeah, somebody needed to hear it.
Yeah.
There's somebody out there who is going through mm-hmm. a similar situation like you guys just said, and they need to hear some words of encouragement and some hope.
Yeah.
You know, because things are not as grim as they seem. You know, it's not the end.
No,
it's just a stop in the progress or whatever. Yeah. It's you know, it's just a bump on the road, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, bro, for sure, man.
And I mean, from here now, it's just all good stuff. I mean, and that's a cool thing that, like, in this walk, like, I tell everybody, it's not about religion, it's more of a lifestyle.
And a relationship.
Yeah, because you're still learning. It's not like you're going to be the perfect. And see, this is a cool thing, and I guess we can end it with this. Like, what I was learning is that, you know, they tell you you got to be holy to achieve some type of
to even have a relationship with God. You have to have all your crap taken care of.
But the thing
already
is that there's two types of holiness. You know, there's there's
self-righteous holiness.
No, so this is the thing. Oh, so there's I would say just like immediate holiness and progressive holiness.
Yeah.
Where like you're holy once you accept, you know, God and you know, you confess your sins and such. Right there and then you become holy right off the bat.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Meaning that it and what holiness really means is just means separation, being separated or being part of.
Yeah.
So meaning that you're part of him.
Right.
That no matter if you still sin or whatever, you're still holy because you accepted him.
Yeah.
Now where the progressive holiness comes in is like where all the good stuff come in. That's the stuff that it's hard for our walk to keep walking because there's so much temptation. There's so many things that we will fail.
Mm-hmm.
But yet our progressiveness on reaching holiness, like purity, that's where like the challenge is. And that's where like, you know, you start learning and indulging yourself onto all this stuff. And even if you make a mistake, all right, what am I going to do to get myself back up?
Right.
And you start being better and better and better and better. Like I think I told you, like, you know, once you get closer to the light, you start seeing, you know, the your dirtiness, and then you start cleaning it off little by little.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, and now, you know, and all the stuff, and the cool thing about this is that he will take your sins, he will then throw them into the deepest part of the ocean, and he won't remember them no more.
Yeah.
And that's a cool thing, because now, like, the dude that created everything and created you and has a vision and a goal and just for anybody, is going to forget everything you did, and he's still gonna give you blessings, give you glory, and this is where like you start getting into like
and the thing is stuff. I mean, there's consequences for what you do, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, you know, we all know. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you can always hit the restart button or the refresh button, whatever you want to call it, with God, and you can just start over. And just like, all right, this is a new slate, new day, whatever. Yep. And the Bible says also that God's mercies are new every day, you know.
Yep.
So,
dude.
Yeah.
Dude, but thank you, man, for
being
part of I was gonna say DI. I don't know
why either. But
for being part of our podcast, and thank you for bringing your testimony. Honestly,
yeah, that was
dude.
Yeah, man.
That's a
out of the ones we got. This is like to me the most fire one.
Yeah, this is one of our best episodes for sure.
Yeah. So hey, thank you for tuning in.
There's no video, by the way.
Yeah, no video.
I saw you look up.
So don't forget, we're on Instagram. Follow us at the ET Podcast. Also Spotify, Apple
Podcast,
SoundCloud, and YouTube. We're getting back to our.
Oh yeah, we coming back.
Yeah,
for
so
sure.
That's gonna be popping too. So thank
also,
you guys.
Don't forget that. 6 more episodes after this, we hit season 4.
Yep, season 4.
So
we still have two more guests coming in that are gonna be fire too.
We have 3 guests
next
episode.
Yep.
And then we have 1 more guest in the end of this month. So
anyways,
so
I was thinking of something, but anyways, forget it. Anyways, thank you guys. So
we're out.
We're out.
I really have to pee.
All right. Me too.